From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The act of prayer teaches us our unworthiness, which is a very salutary lesson for such proud beings as we are. If God gave us favors without constraining us to pray for them, we should never know how poor we are. But a true prayer is an inventory of wants, a catalog of necessities, a revelation of hidden poverty. While it is an application to divine wealth, it is a confession of human emptiness. The most healthy state of a Christian is to be always empty in self and constantly depending upon the Lord for supplies, to be always poor in self and rich in Jesus, weak as water personally, but mighty through God to do great exploits, and hence the use of prayer. Because while it adores God, it lays the creature where it should be, in the very dust. Prayer is in itself, apart from the answer which it brings, a great benefit to the Christian. As the runner gains strength for the race by daily exercise, so for the great race of life we acquire energy by the hallowed labor of prayer. Prayer plumes the wings of God's young eaglets that they may learn to mount above the clouds. Prayer girds the loins of God's warriors and sends them forth to combat with their sinews braced and their muscles firm. An earnest pleader comes out of his closet, even as the sun arises from the chambers of the east, rejoicing like a strong man to run his race. Prayer is that uplifted hand of Moses which routs the Amalekites more than the sword of Joshua. It is the arrow shot from the chamber of the prophet, foreboding defeat to the Syrians. Prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer cannot do. We thank Thee, great God, for the mercy seat, a choice proof of Thy marvelous loving kindness. Help us to use it aright throughout this day.
My soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer.
There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. Such, O Lord, am I.
Bowed down beneath, O Lord of sin, Thy Satan sore,
Thy Satan sorely pressed.
I war without,
I fears within, I come.
to plead and die, to bear the cross and shame.
That guilty sinner such as I might plead thy gracious name.
Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer.
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in a much misunderstood area among many Christians, the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In the present message, entitled The Bible's First Lesson About the Spirit, Dr. Cairns has pointed out how the person and work of the Spirit are revealed in the Scriptures. Some of the proofs that the Holy Spirit is God are seen in the prominence given Him in the Bible, as well as in the proper names ascribed to Him. Then, the Spirit's divine nature is shown in the various properties attributed to Him, such as eternity and sovereignty. As Dr. Cairns will show, the Holy Spirit is recognized preeminently in His activity. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the Bible's first lesson about the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God moved. Now underline that. The fourth property, therefore, that we're emphasizing is not only divine, eternal, and sovereign, but the Holy Spirit of God is active. If you take your Bible, you'll discover something. The Holy Spirit is never said to be exerted by God as a mere attribute. Rather, the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible is always presented as the active agent. And this proves something. It proves that He is personal, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Look at our text, and you'll read about the movement of the Spirit. Romans 8:27, you'll read about the mind of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7, you read about the manifestation of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:8, you read about the ministry or the ministration of the Spirit. Revelation 22:17, you read about the message of the Spirit, where He calls men to come unto Christ. Now all this activity proves personality. The Holy Spirit is not an attribute like the power of God or the wisdom of God. No, He possesses power. He possesses wisdom. He is a person. Personality in Scripture is attributed to the Holy Spirit because He said that He moves, He speaks, He calls, He strives, He instructs, He guides, He comforts, He helps, He empowers, He witnesses. All these are words which prove that He is personal. You see, He's conspicuous by His activity. Now I want us just to stop off there for a minute. The Holy Spirit is known by what He does. The Holy Spirit is not just a section in a hymn book. He's not just a chapter in a systematic theology. The Holy Spirit is not just a branch or a point of doctrine. The Holy Spirit is conspicuous by what He does. Now, my friend, if that is the case, what are we to say today about the lives of so many professing Christians, about the homes of so many professing Christians, and what are we to say about the churches that profess the name of Jesus Christ? And the Holy Spirit is rarely, if ever, mentioned, never mind evident by what He does. We need to be ever in prayer in our lives for the constant activity of the Holy Ghost. We need to be ever in prayer as a church for the constant working and the powerful operation of the Spirit of God. Let us never settle for anything less. Let us never be satisfied with a book knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Let us never be satisfied with an orthodoxy that is dead. Let us never be satisfied with playing church and going through the motions. Let us never be satisfied with Bible study from which the Holy Ghost is not, or in which He's not operating and from which He's excluded. Let us never be satisfied with a prayer life that is merely going through the motions and saying words, but without the fire and the power and the activity of the Holy Ghost. Let us never be satisfied with preaching that is merely giving out information. Let us look to God that in the preaching, whether it be from the pulpit or whether it be in personal witness, there would be that mighty action of the Spirit of God taking up our words and making them into the mighty polished shaft that the Lord will use to reach the hearts of men. We need the Holy Ghost today. There is no way around that. There is no substitute. He in Scripture is conspicuous by His action. Now let me get you to take a quick look through your Bible just to see the range of the activity of the Holy Spirit. We have read in Genesis 1 verse 2 how He is active in creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And out of that primeval chaos, it was the Holy Spirit who brought creation in all its beauty and in all its perfection. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, we read of the Holy Spirit's operation in providence. Notice what He says. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, I know that that's not a text that's normally used about the operation of God in providence, but it ought to be. Because what we're reading here is that in the days before the flood, when men were given over to wickedness, yet the Holy Spirit was restraining. The Holy Spirit was holding back the flood tides of evil and the awful judgment of God. The Holy Spirit was operating even upon ungodly men, striving with them, making it hard for them to go to hell. The Holy Ghost operating in providence. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 indicates in verse 7 that He is still doing the same thing. He who now letteth, or he who now hinders, will hinder. He is the hinderer. He is the opposer of sin. He is the one who is restraining. You know, we think the world's in a bad shape, and so it is. But I want to tell you, if God were to take the restraints off, it would be an awful lot worse. He is active in providence. Then in Nehemiah chapter 9, there are two great verses, verses 20 and 30. Nehemiah 9, 20 and 30. And here you find that the Holy Spirit is active in inspiration and in instruction. Nehemiah 9, verse 20, Thou gavest also Thy good Spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. And then in the 30th verse of the same chapter, Yet many years didst Thou forbear them, and testifiedst against them by Thy Spirit in Thy prophets. There's inspiration. The result, verse 20, is instruction. Now, it's good to get a chance to set out the old-fashioned Bible doctrine of inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 puts it clearly. All Scripture, or literally every Scripture, is inspired of God. Every Scripture is God-breathed. And isn't it interesting that the word breath is a symbol of the Spirit? And we're told every Scripture is God-breathed. It is the utterance of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God, speak as they were moved or as they were borne along by the Holy Ghost. This Bible is the product of inspiration. It is the result of the mighty supernatural action of the Spirit of God in giving men a revelation, in causing them to write it down. Christians sometimes argue about how they did it. And there are great debates over mechanical methods of inspiration and dictation methods of inspiration and all the rest of it. I really am not terribly concerned to understand how God did it. All I know is that God did it. I personally have no trouble with God dictating His Word to man. Professors of theology always throw up their hands in horror at that. But there are parts of the Bible that are clearly dictated. The Ten Commandments certainly were given first by the finger of God, but in the repetition they must have been dictated. There are certainly other parts of the Bible that God gave word for word. And whatever the method, the Bible is of God. Now let me tell you, that tells me something that in our folly we very often set aside. Now listen to it. If this is an inspired book, if it is different in its origin from every other book, then how come Christians are so foolish as to think that the Bible can be understood and criticized on the same ground as any other book? If this is a God-breathed book, and it is, then it's time we realize that it is only the same Spirit who breathed it, who can instruct us by it. And today let's learn this. While God can use our education, etc., as we get into the Bible, it is not primarily education that you need to understand the Bible. It is spiritual illumination. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning Greek and Hebrew. There's nothing wrong with learning your own English language to make sure that you can do full justice to the words that you come across. There's nothing wrong in spending time in good books of Bible study and Bible theology. But having said all that, you can have all the tools. And these things are tools. But they will be absolutely useless to you until you are blessed by the Spirit's illumination, by that gracious act of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you come to any other book, you sit in judgment on the book. It doesn't matter how great the author is. I have read books by great authors, and I have shocked people by saying what I think about those authors. How I could ever dare to say something about such a great literary genius. Well, you see, genius or no genius, he's just a fallible man. And when I read his books, I sit in judgment on the book. But my friend, when I read the Bible sits on judgment on me. I am not judging the Bible. I am not placing my intellect above the Bible. Rather, I come to the Word of God and I submit my intellect, my heart, my feelings, my desires, my everything to the Spirit who gave the book. And that's the only way you're ever going to learn the Bible. The only way. When the Spirit of God illuminates your heart. I've often said this, and it would bear repetition. If you want a living proof of that, all you've got to do is go into any preacher's library or into any theological library, and you'll find books in the shelves that are full of the greatest human erudition. My, they are by men who are learned to their fingertips, but they're as blind as the proverbial bat when it comes to spiritual things. I have books in my shelves, and all they're very interesting to tell me what the root of Hebrew words and Greek words may be, and how these words were developed and used and all the rest of it. But when it comes to getting the meaning of the Word of God, man, you'd be in a bad shape if you were dependent on those things. There's not too much food for the soul in them. Why? Because learning is one thing. The illumination of the Spirit is quite another. We need His instruction.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.